Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 141, one of our palindrome numbers, day 141, and our first day in the book of Nehemiah. Now, Ezra and Nehemiah often get lumped together, and rightfully so, because they're both about the return of the exiles and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Nehemiah leads the third return. What I mean by that is, remember, there's a return under Zerubbabel, which we read about in Ezra, and then Ezra himself leads a return, and then some time passes, and then we get the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was sitting in Persia. He's still in Persia. 90 years. Well, it's the Persian Empire. Yeah. 90 years had passed already since, remember, Cyrus had told the Jews that they could return. That was back in 538 BC. 90 years had passed. Zerubbabel had gone. Ezra had gone. But the returnees had not really thrived. They had not really thrived. The temple was rebuilt, and that is a good thing, and that is a wonderful thing. However, what he finds out is that the walls of Jerusalem are still not repaired. He hears the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Now, that's not a new thing. That's something that happened 70 years ago. Well, 70 plus 90, 150 years ago, but they have not been repaired. So they've got the temple. That's good. But if they don't have the wall around Jerusalem, then they're still very vulnerable, right? Then they don't have a protected or a fortified city. And Nehemiah feels terrible about that. Not only because, you know, he's worried about Jerusalem, though he is. But, like, those guys, they were supposed to be on their game, you know? Like, they had been returned. The same as Ezra was talking yesterday. God had preserved this remnant and then sent them back to Jerusalem. Like, hooray. And yet they did not do the things that they were supposed to do. We heard in Ezra all one kind of stuff, the kind of social, cultural stuff, religious stuff. But here, he finds out that they had not gone to rebuilding Jerusalem in a way that it could be safe. But hold on, this is the promised land, and this is the promised city, and they're supposed to be there. So get it right. When he heard these things, it says, Nehemiah, written in the first person, it says, I sat down and wept. I sat down and wept. And he weeps and weeps and weeps. He weeps and weeps, and he prays. There are a bunch of prayers in the book of Nehemiah, like 12 or something like that, 10 maybe. Whole bunch of prayers. He sat down and wept. He heard this bad news, and he did the right thing. He wept, sure, but he prayed as well. And so he prayed, and something happened. Did it happen the next day? No. Did it happen the next week? No. Did it happen the next month? No. It took 4 months for the next sort of step to happen. And I would say, you know, the Apostle Paul tells us, persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. If you pray for something and you don't get it right away, or you don't get it the next day, or you don't get it a week later or a month later or whatever, don't panic, and don't stop praying. Persevere in prayer. Now, 4 months is not a terribly long time. Unless you're in the middle of it and you don't know if it's going to be 4 months or 4 years or 40 years. But Nehemiah certainly persevered in prayer. And one of the things he did when he persevered in prayer is he reminded God. I love it when people do this. They remind God of God's promises. So they're like, you said that you're going to scatter us to the nations, but you also said, if we turn to you, even if we're at the farthest horizon, you will gather us from there, which is great. And so Nehemiah was was sent back. It was 4 months later. It says at the end of chapter one, he was cupbearer to the king, which means he tasted the king's food and the king's wine to make sure it wasn't poisoned. If it was poisoned, he would die, and not the king. So it was a very close relationship that they had. They were around each other, sort of. He wasn't like a far off administrator. He was like with the king all the time. Artaxerxes. Now, funny story. The next book of the Bible that we're going to read is Esther. And Artaxerxes is actually Esther's stepson. So just a little something. So in the month of Nisan, which is probably like April-ish, so about 4 months after he started praying, he talked to Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes says, "Well, what's wrong, man? Like, why art thou so bummed out?" And he said, "Oh, because my place is a mess. The city of my fathers is in ruins." And Artaxerxes gave him the commission to go back to Jerusalem and get it fixed up. Now remember, the Persians treat their conquered cities differently than the Babylonians had. The Babylonians had removed. The Babylonians were more into sticks, we might say, and the Persians were more into carrots. So he sends Nehemiah. Not only does he send Nehemiah, but he sends some cavalry and horses with him to protect him. Remember, we said it was like 900 miles or something. Well, anyway, it was a really long way. Long enough that when he got back, that when Nehemiah got back, he needed 3 days to recover from the journey. Ezra had done something similar, rested afterwards. And in chapter two, he goes around and he inspects all the walls. He goes and sees, you know, what exactly situation are they in. He doesn't tell anybody, and I think this is pretty cool. He arrives, he rests for 3 days. He doesn't tell anybody what he's doing. He goes out at night to inspect the walls, and they're like a whole bunch of them. Walls. There's like one, you know, wall. And gates, right? So they're like a bunch of gates, like 12 gates or something like that. And like all of these things are going to have to be redone. Understand that it is a truth universally acknowledged. That when you start good work like this, there is going to be opposition, and there is opposition that we see at the end of chapter two. There's a Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite and Geshem the Arab heard about it and they mocked and ridiculed us. They didn't like the way that maybe Nehemiah was being a little uppity, wanting to get his city back. So there's going to be opposition, and there's going to continue to be opposition. But the good news is, in chapter three, everybody got involved with the rebuilding. Now, what does that tell us? Tell us, one, maybe Nehemiah was persuasive, but it also shows that the people weren't necessarily opposed to it. They just needed a leader. You know, and Nehemiah was able to be that leader for them. And so they did. And he got everybody involved. He got like all the different, it wasn't like just like construction people did it, but like everybody did. If your house was near the wall, you took care of that part, was part of one part of the wall. If your business was near another part of the wall, you worked on that. But everybody pitched in. And as a result, they finished it in like 40, 50 days. Something like that, you know. It had been 90 years since they had gotten back, and it had been a whole bunch of years since like 40 years since Ezra had returned, had led that set of returnees. But then once they got their act together and started doing the rebuilding, it only took like 2 months or so. Let that be a lesson to us, right? Two things. One, sometimes we just need a little prompting and a little organization. But the other thing, and I think these two things go together. I think it's notable that Nehemiah went and made a plan first, right? He went and inspected everything without, you know, sometimes we feel like, all right, just jump in and do it. And Nehemiah wanted to like sit and discern and try to figure out what the best thing to do was. And that's what he did. And it worked out well. So Nehemiah, both Ezra and Nehemiah often get used as sort of examples of like biblical leadership. It's faithful to God. It's in constant communication with God, right? These guys pray a lot. Nehemiah prays a lot. He gets organized. He does his research and everything. And then he leads the people and gets them to do this stuff that's important for God. The people that hadn't done it, are they bad people? No, I'm like, probably not. They're just people that get like all of us get caught up in the day to day. And I'll get to work on the wall in a little bit, but I got to run to the grocery store after I drop the kids off. And like, if I got to get back and like, I'll work on the wall tomorrow. And then a couple decades go by. But Nehemiah kept them focused on what was important. Nehemiah kept them focused, sort of reminded them of what was important and got them to do it. So good job, Nehemiah. We'll continue with Nehemiah for a couple more days, and we'll see how this goes. But we are seeing Jerusalem be rebuilt in front of our eyes. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day, St. Georgians, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.